Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. Linda Cohen along with you. You know, for most high school grads, leaving home for college or to join the world of work can be quite daunting. But add to that a chronic disease like diabetes, and the picture can get quite a bit more challenging. Joining me in the studio this morning to discuss some of the issues and challenges for these kids is Dr. Irene Sills, professor of pediatrics at Upstate Medical University with a specialty in pediatric endocrinology. Welcome, Dr. Sills.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know, having an adolescent go off to college or to a job has got to be scary for both the parents, you know, and the child alike. And it's probably true for all chronic diseases.
Right. It doesn't matter what the chronic disease is. If you have a person diagnosed as a child with a disease, the parents have, for the most part, been in charge of taking care of that child. And then suddenly, the parents will not be able to be in the picture to the same extent that they have been for the first 15, 18 years. And that's quite frightening for parents.
And it seems to me that what the ultimate goal is, I think for all kids going away, is to become become independent, functioning human beings. But in this case, there's a lot more to it.
Exactly. There's a lot of daily demands that a child or an adult or an adolescent with diabetes must do, and a lot of decisions to be made. And these are things that you need to teach your child to be able to cope with when you're not one bedroom away.
Yeah, that, I think that's a key point. I mean, you obviously have been seeing these children since their, you know, early childhood, in many cases with type 1 diabetes. And so I think the message that you've always had is that this has to start early, this
yes.
kind of preparation.
Exactly.
And we're going to talk more about that. I was surprised at the statistics, though, that almost 8,000 kids a year go, out of the 2.3 million who go off to college, will go with type 1 diabetes.
Exactly, yes. That's a sizable amount. Childhood type 1 diabetes, insulin-dependent diabetes, occurs in 1 in 600 school children. It's a common chronic disease, yes.
So it seems to me that the overall goal that for this individual is for them to develop the knowledge and skills for self-care.
Right.
And to make good decisions, healthcare decisions in particular, and also to access the healthcare system that they
right.
need to understand that. And that's hard for all of us.
It's hard for an adult to know exactly what their insurance covers after dealing with that insurance company for many years. Exactly.
So what are the key things to help them prepare? Yeah. What do you recommend?
All right. So you have to start quite early. And I think you have to start when a child is 12 or 13 years old. Start to involve them in decision-making, educating them. They need to know the kind of insulin they're getting. They need to understand how insulin works. They have to understand what a blood sugar means. They don't get to make the final decision, but you involve them in the discussion quite early.
It strikes me also there were times that I remember from a prior conversation we had that you might even encourage kids to administer their own insulin at a very early age.
Oh, yeah. Well, we usually find that kids can give their own, that girls can give their own injection around 10 and a half, and boys more like 11 and a half years. So we don't encourage kids to take on skills that are not developmentally appropriate. But 11 and a half is still many, many years before they go off to college or leave the home.
How about decisions in terms of the choice of college? Does that play a role?
I really believe that kids can go to college wherever they want to go to college if they've done the proper planning, if they've asked the right questions. And
like, what are the kinds of things that you think
well,
are important?
Where is the nearest emergency medical services? Where would they be available? What does the health service on campus provide? Many health services provide trauma care, reproductive health care, and mental health care for depression. But they may not provide the services for helping a child with a person with diabetes who needs IV fluids and extra insulin. So it's a matter of knowing where you would go if you're vomiting and you can't keep down liquids the way you usually do.
So you're saying that you wouldn't necessarily make a choice on a school solely based on that, but before going to any particular college or university, you'd want to know where the resources
exactly.
are.
Exactly. It's asking the right questions. I think kids with diabetes should follow their passions. I think they should lead the kind of life that they want to lead and make the diabetes fit into that.
So kids really need to know things like how to contact an emergency room, when to contact an emergency room, those kinds of things as well.
They need to know what the emergency situations are. They need to know the best they can to how to prevent those situations. And these are things that their parents may have been looking out for them for many, many years.
Right. Similarly, it seems to me they need to know where pharmacies may be and how to get their insulin if they should run out.
Many parents, people receive their supplies through the mail, so that has to be worked out. Where will things be shipped? Today, many kids are on insulin pumps, which is a different way of administering insulin, and many of those supplies are shipped. So it's a decision just where they're going to go. And a student at college needs to say, I'm running out of supplies, before 4 hours before he or she is actually out of supplies if you're living a distance from your home.
How about things like lifestyle choices? I mean, you know, obviously these are all things that you're wanting to be working with your kids about their whole adolescence, you know, issues about alcohol, issues about staying up late at night, issues about, you know, getting proper sleep, all of that kind of thing. How do you encourage or at what point do you encourage parents to get involved in this with their kids in preparation for the departure?
Well, alcohol is one of the largest concerns that I have when I send a child with diabetes off to college because it's so pervasive, so dangerous, so counterproductive for these kids. And then you add on the fact that if you have diabetes and you become drunk, you have no idea whether your blood sugar is high, low, sideways, backwards, nothing. So trying to discuss issues about alcohol is something that we do in high school. It's the same. It's a similar kind of conversation.
So you'll start really early with that.
Yes, and the word there is moderation. None at all is best, but definitely not getting drunk. Some of the kids listen to us. Other kids are so swayed by peer pressure that they just don't. And some kids are depressed and get into alcohol use for that reason.
And it can be life-threatening for someone with diabetes?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It can be life-threatening for someone without diabetes.
Clearly,
true.
Clearly. But
even
case.
Worse for someone with diabetes because their diabetes can get out of control and dangerously so.
How about things like exercise? Again, I would think that would be something you would encourage kids to do.
We encourage kids to exercise, but again, that's a high school issue. We teach kids how to manage their diabetes as best we can while they do exercise. And definitely at college, we encourage it, although I think many people feel that the kids don't get as much exercise at college because they're so busy, especially in the beginning, doing so many other things. There's just a whole lot more, many more excuses not to do it.
Right. And not the least of which is the fact that they're up very late at night and they're working either in the library or partying, whichever.
The good news about the insulin, the way we give insulin today, kids can stay up late at night. We have flexible regimens that can accommodate some odd sleeping hours. Not that we necessarily want them to do that, but it's not like 20 years ago when we were fixed into rigid insulin requirements and with insulins peaking at odd times. It was much more troublesome.
How about things like housing choices? In other words, would you recommend in most cases for a child with diabetes to have a roommate?
Yes. Okay. I think that's exactly my point to parents. I think someone who lives with that student should know what time the student's supposed to get up and make sure that they are up, that they aren't experiencing a low blood sugar reaction. I think
and maybe how to recognize those things,
exactly,
because the average adolescent wouldn't necessarily know that,
and how to treat it. We have an emergency medicine called glucagon to inject, and I think it's something that roommates can learn to do. Rarely will they have to do it, but I think it's far worse to see someone be unconscious and not be able to do anything and having to wait for an emergency medical team when there is something that you could do to help your friend.
I'm curious, though, in terms of the sense of responsibility, that is a large responsibility as a roommate. Is it something that the universities might intervene in terms of asking, you know, in terms of setting up these roommate situations, would you be willing to have it?
It's a great question. It has not happened.
Yeah, because it seems like, you know,
it's a good preparation ahead for.
Well, at least that there's a willing participant, mm-hmm. and it's not you're not mm-hmm. feeling that all of a sudden mm-hmm. you moved into a room and the person you're with is diabetic and you're now in a position where you're responsible.
Right. Well, so you know, I think I haven't really thought of it from that perspective because most kids, are willing to take the plunge, actually.
To help out.
Mm-hmm.
How about things like keeping, again, with a roommate situation, keeping emergency food
yes.
on hand?
Good point. What we say is that there needs to be an emergency box that is just off limits. Nobody drinks that juice. Nobody eats anything that's in that box, including the student with diabetes. This has to stay. It has to have liquids with calories, liquids without calories, things like a thermometer, certain medications, and that's it. That's off limits.
It sounds to me like a lot of these concerns are, I mean, many of these concerns would be true for anyone going off to, you know, away from home, but specifically some of these very specific things like we talked about, like the mm-hmm. emergency box and being able to recognize hypoglycemia, are very specific to diabetes. How about when it comes to sexual health? Well, is there a mm-hmm. particular issue for kids with diabetes there?
For girls, it is very important that diabetes regulation be in tip-top shape when a fetus is conceived, when an embryo is conceived. So birth control becomes perhaps even a larger issue if you think that a girl will be sexually active, and the likelihood at college is pretty high. That girl needs to be on birth control pills, and if the decision is made to have a pregnancy, they need to make sure that diabetes is in excellent shape.
Does it place the individual at risk as well as the fetus, though?
To some extent, the individual, but the main focus at that point is the malformations in the first trimester of the fetus.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the kids with diabetes going off to school are more at risk for mental health issues?
Yes.
And tell us about that. In what
way? I think kids with diabetes in general are more at risk for mental health issues because they live with a chronic noose around their necks. If they do what they're supposed to do, it can. They're checking their blood sugars 4 to 6 times a day, counting carbohydrates, taking insulin injections, using an insulin pump. It's a very demanding situation, and if the blood sugar's where it's supposed to be, that's great, but usually it's a little too high, a little too low. There's always some angst associated with that. And for the kids that don't do what they're supposed to do, they do know in their brains that they should be doing what they're supposed to do, and they carry around this, I guess the word would be guilt or worry that they're not willing to acknowledge. They'd rather deny that they have a chronic disease, but I think in some part of their brain, they understand that they are harming themselves. So either way, I think that that there are stresses involved. Kids worry that they will not be attractive as future partners because they have a chronic disease, and some people are quite discriminatory against young people with diabetes. So I think that there are pressures. Not to say that other children don't have other pressures, you know, family issues, divorce, poverty. And some kids with diabetes have to deal with all those.
Yes, it sounds like it can be a major struggle. Do you offer, in the little bit of time we have left, do you offer counseling opportunities for kids?
We try to help kids who are having severe problems with counseling. I don't think as a society we have enough resources for mental health counseling for anyone, actually.
Yeah.
And it's hard to access the kind of good care. But communities do try, and we try to pair kids up when we can with local resources. So it's a constant concern.
Constant struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, kids with chronic diseases, it sounds to me, should follow their dreams is your message.
Yes.
And but properly prepare. And I think you've helped us understand the kinds of things they need to do. Well, Dr. Irene Sills, Professor of Pediatrics at Upstate Medical University, thanks very much for coming back in again today and joining us and sharing these profound insights with us. We've got to take a short break. Please stay with us. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is HealthLink on Air, 570 and 106.9 WSYR.